John chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with verse 27, and then it'll be a little bit of review down to the 30th verse, and then we're going to cover from verse 31 through 36 this morning. John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is a bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Let's begin with prayer now. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your precious word. I ask for your strength. I ask that you will guide and lead us. Give me the physical strength I need to preach your word. Give me the words to preach, that they will be directly from you, that the words that are proclaimed will be presented with power and with strength, and that folks that are here that do not know you as their Savior will be saved today by hearing your word. And Father, those that know you as their Savior, that these words will be strengthening words and words of joy and words of peace that bring a peace to our life and a peace to our heart each and every day. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together with this family and fellowship over your word. Now please, guide and lead us and show us your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have the testimony of God's word here through John, how that Nicodemus went to Jesus by night and had some questions of him. And again, as we've shared last week, the greatest message was preached by the greatest preacher. And in these verses of Scripture, it does not tell us that Nicodemus was saved at that time. But we know by the testimony later in the Scripture that he was saved at some point in time. Jim made the comment of the service yesterday that I made a point of Mr. Youngmire in saying that one of these 33,340 days of Mr. Youngmire's life, one of those days was the greatest, most important day, and that was the day that he met the Lord Jesus as his Savior. No other day is more important. Nothing can match meeting God and asking him to be your Savior and to take your sins away. And Jim said, "I wish you had that day. I wish you could have said on 27,337 days, this is the day he was saved," but no one knew that day. And so I know that Mr. Youngmire did. This day that Nicodemus sat there and listened to the Lord Jesus, precious words preached to him. And as we move then, and almost immediately after this, we found that there was a discussion between the Lord Jesus' disciples and John's disciples. There was a conversation that went on between the leaders of the synagogue, the Jews, about the purifying, And you see, any time that God's word is proclaimed, there's going to be someone, something that comes in to divide. Because unity and a oneness in Christ is essential for a church to grow and to be strong. And any time that you have any kind of cliques in the church or a special group in the church or someone feels that they are held up to some level of respect above someone else, something like that, any time that that takes place, that causes a division. And that dividing, those divisions, are only caused by the devil himself. He loves to cause division. He hates unity, and especially any kind of unity over the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he steps right in here, and he begins to ask about this, and you know, why does Jesus and his disciples are in the land, and he was the disciples were baptizing there, and John also was baptizing. And they said, they came to him and wondered, you know, why. There was seeming the conflict between John and between Jesus. And then come the Jews, and then there was a question between John's baptism and the Jews' baptism. And each time, and even in the 26th verse, and that's the reason that I went back with review so far, because they called John rabbi. And if you remember, that's exactly what Nicodemus called Jesus. It means good teacher. John sets out then in these next verses to make himself smaller and make Jesus bigger. And so all these verses that we're going to discuss today from 31 through 36 and the verses from 27 on now do just that. And so please that we see that we do the same. That through these verses of scriptures today that we are put in the background and Jesus is the one that's in the front. That Jesus is the one that's important, that Jesus is the one that needs to be seen. I don't need to be seen. You don't need to be seen. Jesus needs to be seen. Jesus needs to be heard from. And so we need to proclaim his words. And so look at these verses of scripture now, because John in verse 27, and again, this is still review, but it gets us prepared for the rest of it. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above." John begins to become a little smaller and a little smaller to where that John is not seen, and all that is seen is Jesus. Is Jesus. That's not a common thing to be done today. Our schools teach humanism. That we are number one. The schools teach there is no God. And so it is our responsibility as parents and as spiritual leaders to stand up and tell our children and tell our grandchildren that Jesus is alive and Jesus saves and there is a God. And that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. Our God created the world. How many times do you need to hear on a television show by broadcasts of all the networks that they have found something and it's 300 billion years old? This earth is 6,000 years old, period. All the scientists, all the research, but you see, in order for them to tell what they tell, and give the description and the explanation of evolution, you've got to go back billions of years. Otherwise, they can't make it work. So one lie is added to another lie and to another lie to make it work, and it's found its way into the textbooks to teach our children. And then how many times do they hear that this earth's only 6,000 years old? And how many times do they hear that something is 10 million years old or 10 billion years old? And what do they believe? We need to teach them the truth. We need to teach them of our God. Well, the schools are teaching them how to be God. We need to teach them who God is. And then they will be humble and they will be respectful. You want to know why they're not respectful to adults anymore? They're not respectful to parents or to grandparents or to adults because they're God. I can do anything. I can do anything. I can be anything. I'm God. And that's what they're taught. Well, John here gives each one of us a wonderful lesson, and that lesson is who we need to be. I don't know anything except what's given me from heaven. Now, when you go to any, and we really don't have them here, I don't want anyone to stand in this pulpit that's not stand on the truth. And we're finding fewer and fewer people today that stand on the truth. And so to have an evangelist come in, I would rather that we just study the Word of God and stay with the truth. I don't need folks stirred up for a week or for 2 weeks. I need us to love Jesus and be stirred up every day. And so as we come and we hear the Word of God, how many times when you hear the credentials of a preacher that you even hear the day he was saved? He is a graduate of this college, holds a doctorate degree. He went to this college and he holds a doctorate degree there. He went to this university and he has this here. Now, what are they doing? Standing in the pulpit where they're supposed to be preaching the Word of God, they're giving all the credentials of this man. Let that man stand up and start preaching the Word of God. Get away from all the introduction of how important this man is. Did you hear John say that? Did John do that? Did John the Baptist come up and say, "Here's the school I was went to"? Well, they wouldn't have recognized the first university of the wilderness. That would have been the explanation of the school that he attended. God was my teacher, my professor, taught me everything I know. We depend today so much on people learning and schools. They should be teaching us how to learn, how to study, how to know these words and to do it. But the Spirit of God is the only one that can teach us the truths of God and teach us peace and joy and strength and give us salvation and show us what's important. The only one that can do that is our Lord and Savior. And John gives that credit right to him. He said, only the one that's from above can teach a person. That's the only one. That's the start in verse 27. Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ. I am sent before him. Why do you people uphold me? John the Baptist is saying, why do you look at me as God? I told you I'm not God. I told you that I am just the one that's coming before him. I'm introducing him. And then the next scripture says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Now, what should the bridegroom's friend do? what should the bridegroom's friend do? The bridegroom's friend, the best friend of the bridegroom. What is his responsibility? And we didn't really take a lot of time to talk about this last week because it was just kind of the end of the service. What should the best friend of the bridegroom do? Everything he can to make the groom's day the best day. Everything. The bridegroom's friend is here, there, and every place else, seeing that everything is right and allowing the bridegroom to enjoy the day. Not to worry about anything. The bridegroom's friend, if he's truly a friend, is out of sight, unseen. And the one in the spotlight, of course, in our society, who's the one that is front and center? How many of you remember what the bridegroom looked like at the last wedding you attended? Who? The bride. Now that's a different story. Here, roles have changed because we are the bride and we are adorned to meet our Lord. We're made perfect. Wonderful what our God does for us to prepare us to meet Him. But in this case, the bridegroom is the one that is front and center. And John says, I do everything, everything. And that's the reason that when the blessings, the rewards are handed out, you're going to be surprised who gets what. Because there are going to be people that was in the background that didn't want any of the glory. No one needed to know what they were doing, but they were constantly busy and constantly doing things. And maybe it was the dirtiest, dingiest job there was, but it was just done. And nobody really knew how it got done. It was just done. Nobody even knew who did it. But it was just done. And God's going to reward those folks for what they do, unseen, unacknowledged. And so it's going to be a shock who gets the greatest rewards versus the ones that you see all the time and hear from all the time. But the friend of the bridegroom, John the Baptist here, puts himself in that position. I don't even want to be seen. I just want to make his day perfect. And that's what we need to do when it comes to our relationship with our Lord Jesus. We don't even need to be seen as long as we make our Lord's day perfect. And we need to do everything we can do to do that. And what makes the friend of the bridegroom happy? And this is where the problem comes many times. We have to have the praise. We have to have the acknowledgement. Somebody's got to see what we're doing. Somebody's got to pat us on the back, or we're not happy. The bridegroom, all I need to do is hear the voice of my master. And that really makes me happy. And it was not just a voice, not just a word, but I'm sure it's a word of acceptance. You've done what I told you to do to introduce me. You've done that. And those words, that voice, brings joy, and not only just a little joy, the scripture says, fulfilled his joy. That's what made John happy, was to do what his master wanted him to do. That's what a servant does. And this continues now. That was all just the introduction and the leftover from last week. And I don't know if you folks eat leftovers or not, but usually leftovers are as good as the main meal. And so now we'll have the main meal, and you'll see, you choose which you prefer to have. Verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. 30th verse first before we leave there, John makes the clearest statement. He must increase, I must decrease. It doesn't get any clearer than that. And if we would live our lives, that everything we do, that our Lord is lifted up, whether we're helping someone, doing something at church, or whatever we're doing, that our Lord is glorified because of who we are and what we do, that should bring joy to us. And that should be our, this world is the opposite of that. I must increase. And if I'm going to increase, what's going to happen to you? If I'm going to increase, you got to decrease. Somebody always loses when somebody wins. Always. And so if I'm going to climb that ladder of success, I'm going to step on a lot of people, and I don't care who I step on, I'm going up that ladder. And that's the world. What'd John say? I'm walking in the shadow. I prefer not to even be seen. Here, Lord, is what I'm doing for you. And when we proclaim the word of God, man is not acknowledged or glorified, but God is. And that's what we need to do. And once again, now in verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. John continues, and that's the reason we had to back up with review there so far, because just to start with verse 31, you think, who are we talking about here? We're still talking about John the Baptist and Jesus. John is still trying to tell these folks that are around him, and especially his disciples, because the teachers that are going to be teaching others, you need to understand what's important, he's saying. You need to understand, he that cometh from above is above all. Our Lord is superior over any mortal. Superior. The Creator, and you think about this, and this is the reason we have to have evolution and billions of years to accomplish that and to describe that and explain that, because they don't want to believe there's a Creator. Well, if they don't want to believe a Creator, but I'm sorry, the Creator is always greater than His creation. And we need to acknowledge that. He has created all this. Let's praise Him for it. Don't praise the creation, praise the Creator. God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus, is greater than any man, because He was God in the flesh. John's saying, there is no comparison here. He that cometh from above is above all. He wants that straightforward. And then he says, he that's from the earth is earthly. I'm from the earth. John says, I'm nothing. I am nothing. The only thing I have is what He's given me. And what kind of a powerful person is that if everything you have is on loan from somebody else? And that's the way John looked at it. John didn't want any of the praise. He didn't want any of the glory. He didn't want to get patted on the back. He wanted to do his Lord's bidding. He wants to do his Lord's will. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. For you that were in Sunday school this morning, we did the books of the Bible. We're working on that, and so I know that you that attended Sunday school got to it just like that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. You see, Christ is, and we start there in verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilled all in all. Christ is above all. Christ is above all. Now, how about the earthly? Except the Lord Jesus, all preachers, all proclaimers of the Word of God are of this earth. And with the exception to Jesus being the proclaimer of the Word, every one of the preachers that preach make mistakes because they're human. And John is trying so hard to bring himself back into the shadows. His powerful preaching and the multitudes that followed him and the multitudes that were saved under his ministry begin to lift him up, and he was being lifted up too high, and he didn't want it. He didn't want it. And so he takes this text of Scripture here, and he explains with great concern that I can tell you that I'm nothing. I'm nothing. God's everything. Jesus is everything. Preachers make mistakes. Preachers mispreach. Preachers take things out of context. Mean to or don't mean to, they still do it. Because they're human. John says, Jesus never made a mistake. Every word he preached was clear. Every word he preached was right. Is that me? Is that John? No. Never can be. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Now, I'm so thankful that through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can take something I say and turn it around and bring it into your ears and so you can hear it correctly. The Spirit can do that. But if you want to, and we've experienced that, folks that just question and condemn every single word. I guess they're not human. I guess they don't make a mistake. Have you ever, you know, you folks that know me know that I transpose numbers. I transpose letters. If I could show you my notes here, you could see that every time that I go up for an H, I go down. When I go to put a G, my hand goes up. I guess if I would stand on my head and write, maybe I could. It would be easier. I am constantly transposing numbers. And if you've ever dealt with me, why, you know, I'll say, now read that number back to me. And you'll read it back. And I says, no, that isn't right. And then I'll turn around and read it the same way wrong a second time. My hand and my mind don't work very good because I'll be writing down my thought and I'll realize that I missed three words. I jumped from this word to this word. My hand was too slow, I guess. We're human. Every one of us. You want to find faults in me? You sure can. It can be said about everybody. But not about our Lord. And that's the reason John says we've got to lift him up. I'm nothing to look at. I'm nothing to pay attention to. It's God. You know, don't look at me. Listen to the words of God that I am proclaiming, yes. But listen to the Spirit of God as He teaches you. We, as preachers, and any teacher, any person that speaks the Word of God to anyone else, we have the Word, and we should speak by and through the Holy Spirit as He directs us in His Word to proclaim it. But Jesus, He is the Word. Look at verse 32. What He has seen and heard, that He testifies. No man receiveth His testimony. Now, isn't that so sad? He's got people are following me and watching me, but there is the Son of God that speaks the Word of God clearly and without one error, without one mistake, and nobody pays any attention to Him. That's the world. The world loves the world. The world loves the devil. The world does not love God. So that's the reason for all the discussion as far as evolution and the billions of years, because they have to somehow or other explain away what God has created. They will answer and they will pay for that. But understand that this giving out the Word of God, proclaiming the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, is a joy that we have. But these folks here that had Jesus standing right there, John says, listen to Him, because I'm just proclaiming His words. They're not my words, they're His words. And we need to do the same thing when we're teaching. I'm not teaching my words. I'm teaching His word. Is it perfect? No. But God can take it and make it useful to you. And by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, God gives us a strength and an ability that we couldn't have if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit to assist and to help, that I can proclaim it clearer and you have ears to hear. That's because the Holy Spirit is present in the hearts of every believer. When it says, and no man receives his testimony, those words there is that it's not saying that there is not a man that has been saved. But out of the relationship with the multitudes of people that have walked with Jesus and was fed by 5,000 was fed. The multitudes of people that was around the Lord Jesus, it was such a small number that truly believed it wasn't even able to count. It was so small. There were so few folks that believed His testimony. Multitudes followed because of His miracles. But did they realize and recognize that He was Savior and they needed a Savior? No. That's where the problem was at. Same today. They follow, they watch, they listen. They receive many of the benefits of the church being present here, but most folks today are not born again. They do not possess the salvation that God offers, and they are not truly believers in Jesus. He that hath received His testimony has set it to seal that God is true. And we're going to cover this, and then we'll end for the day. Time goes so quickly, at least for the preacher. And as we look at these verses of Scripture, it is simply stated that if you are born again, if you believe that God sent Christ to be the Savior, that Christ is the Messiah, He is that prophet that was foretold in the Old Testament, if you believe that, you will desire to publicly acknowledge Him. You will want to tell folks and fellowship with folks, and especially when you're amongst believers in Jesus Christ, baptism is one form of that acknowledgement, publicly acknowledging, here is what I have done. I've trusted in Jesus, and I want to testify of that. And so, for us to do that, and John just kind of stops there in the middle, and he makes it clear right after that, no man receiveth His testimony, but he that hath received His testimony, in other words, those that are born again, hath set his seal that God is true. I want to make it clear that I know Jesus. Kevin wanted me to, Youngmeyer wanted me to make one clear statement. It was one thing that he remembered clearer than anything else of his dad in the latter years. And that was, Jay would hold his hand up, walk down through the nursing home halls, and he would say, "Jesus is my Savior." And he would try to get others to say it. And of course, most would just frown or look down or look at that crazy man. How crazy was he? He's in the presence of the Lord right now. That's publicly acknowledging. Put his hand up. And I asked Kevin, I said, because I saw him do it once, just one time. But he would walk down the halls. And the first time he'd go from the cafeteria to the little fellowship area there where the television was at the main desk. And when he'd get there, he'd hold up his right hand. "Jesus is my Savior." And again, he wanted others to say the same. But most of the time, no response. No response. We should testify of our Savior as well. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and rejoice over your word. I just ask that as the word was preached yesterday, as the word was proclaimed this morning during the Sunday school time, and now as it's proclaimed again, I just ask that those words were God-given, God-driven, Holy Spirit-powered words. And I just ask that as those words touch the hearts, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Lord Jesus, before you're going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords of this earth and or of my life, I must accept you as my Savior. And so please today, there'll be no one here that has rejected that call, that's turned you away. But I ask that all here have said, "Yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me." That day you should know. Hold on to that day. A precious day. The most precious day. And then begin that walk. Testifying. Speaking clearly. And yet not so that man will hear me, but so that God will be honored and glorified. Speak to all of our hearts now, Lord. I just thank you for this time. And I hope your word was clear today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.